Hello, and welcome to this Cannabis Business Time podcast sponsored by Schaefer Ventilation. Today, we will be learning more about how cannabis cultivators can utilize evaporative cooling techniques in their operations. And to help us broach this topic, we have Dave Bishop on the line, who is the regional director for the East, South, and Midwest regions of Conley's Greenhouse Manufacturing Incorporated. Dave, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, Dave, can you tell us how can the evaporative cooling system provide advantages to cannabis cultivators?
Well, Cassie, the main thing with evaporative cooling is it's the most efficient, both from a cost standpoint and an energy standpoint, of way of cooling a greenhouse. Greenhouses these days have higher and higher sidewalls or ceilings for particularly cannabis because of supplemental lighting and things like that. So you have a lot of cubic airspace that has to be cooled. And, of course, evaporative cooling has been used for literally decades in other industries in the greenhouse industry, be it vegetable, floriculture, horticulture, so forth. But it would be very, very expensive to cool a greenhouse with normal HVAC or other types of cooling with that much cubic airspace. So primarily it's just simply the most cost effective. It is also just very effective in cooling. The initial cost is low. The operating cost is much lower than other type of systems. It's low maintenance, and it has a very low energy usage and consumption.
And so in which structures, then, do evaporative cooling systems work best?
It's not so much about the structure, because an evaporative cooling system will work in virtually any greenhouse structure, whether it's just a single structure, or if it's like many projects that I do that are 1 acre, and the whole project is cooled by evaporative cooling. So it's not so much the structure. It will work in any greenhouse structure, but it's really more based on climate and on location as to how the system works better than in other climates and other locations. So it has to do a lot of time with, there's other determining factors such as humidity, things like that, that affect the overall performance more than a specific structure. An evaporative cooler, for the most part, they are all custom made so they can fit any structure that a customer would have.
Perfect. And also, which factors must you keep in mind with an evaporative cooling system to make sure it's operating at its peak performance?
Well, as I mentioned, the number one thing is climate. As an example, I'll use a facility that we just finished in Arizona. Arizona has a very dry climate. That is very conducive for an evaporative cooling because it's low humidity. However, I'm also in the process of starting a cannabis facility in Florida, totally across the U.S. in a very different climate. And yet it is working, and it's already been tried, and we already have a system in, and it's working very well in Florida as well. But what we have to do when we figure the evaporative cooler, which obviously the other components that are involved in evaporative cooling are exhaust fans on the other end that pull the cool air through the house. So when we have to figure all of that, we do have to use different calculations and different formulas, and it's very different based on your climate, your humidity, etc. Having said that, there's also, we have to remember that a greenhouse, and I have many up in the Colorado area to use another example, where obviously it gets very cold, and it can be cold temperatures, but when the sun is out on a sunny day, even though it may be 25 degrees outside, the solar heat gain due to the elevation, in other words, we're a mile closer to the sun, and it does make a difference. So even in those areas, we use evaporative cooling because the greenhouse can heat up so quickly, and particularly in the summer, of course. And so really, in almost any scenario, evaporative cooling is going to work. The best, and back to the short answer to your question, is in a drier climate, but we don't want to exclude that it can be even in a humidity type climate. There are some situations where we feel like it just does not work. If it's right on the coastal line or something like that, in a really hot area, maybe the Far East Coast, then it's not going to be the best way to cool. But those are really pretty few and far between. There's some other things that we have to take in consideration, and it's to do with length of the house. And I realize this is a long answer, but it's very important, because to simplify, you're basically creating cool air at the evaporative cooler, and you're pulling it through the house. You can only pull it through the house so far before it starts dropping off. So generally, that a house that is anywhere between 100 foot, 120 foot at the maximum is how the cooling system is going to be operating at its best. All of that being said, that's why it's very important for a customer to make sure that they're dealing with somebody that understands and sells all over the United States, because evaporative cooling is one of those items that is not a one-size-fits-all. There's a lot of questions that need to be asked, a lot of study on the climate. I'm here in Texas. We have four different zones right here in climates of how I would do evaporative cooling differently from one zone to another.
So that perfectly segues into my next question, which is, how do evaporative cooling systems stand up to then other cooling systems, given that perhaps maybe an evaporative cooling system is not a one-size-fits-all, as you mentioned?
Right. So it's a concept. Evaporative cooling, first of all, is obviously a very different concept than either HVAC, which is normal air conditioning cooling, or what we call closed greenhouse cooling, where you're not bringing any air in from the outside. And in some of those cases, you're chilling water and then pumping it out in the house, or there's a couple of different ways that a closed greenhouse cooling works. So an evaporative cooling system will, depending on the climate and the zone, you can normally achieve a 10 to 18 degree difference on evaporative cooling alone. And you can achieve more than that if you use shade cloth and things like that can help even more, particularly like a luminized shade cloth that reflects the heat rays back out. So an HVAC system, can obviously bring the temperature down lower than, in other words, you have a limit as to what evaporative cooling can do. But the flip side of that is you're only running about 30 amps on average at all times for a normal evaporative cooling system. So the energy consumption is very, very low. So whereas if you were using a different kind of system that maybe could bring the temperature down more, it would be exceedingly high to cool that same cubic air space. So it's two different concepts. One, it's taking water and evaporating the water, and that creates cool air, and it's pulling through the house. But it has a limit as to what it will do. And like I said, depending on where it is, it's about 10 to 18 degrees from what the outside temperature is.
Perfect. So do evaporative cooling systems, I'm curious to know, also have applications in indoor grows versus greenhouse? And how does this work? And if not, why might that not be feasible?
Well, we've done many, many, many indoor grows, so far as our company, with benching systems and things like that. And, of course, what you have in an indoor grow, generally speaking, is a warehouse-type facility. And you have rooms that are divided off into generally much smaller areas than, say, what a greenhouse bay would be. And so the whole concept with the evaporative cooling is you have to use outside air. And it has to be uninhibited all the way to the other side. So the problem with indoor grows, it can work, but it's on a limited amount. In other words, you would have to have outside air source, and then you would not have to have any walls before it got to the other end. And because of the fact that most indoor grows are not set up that way, it's not real feasible for indoor grows. There's too many partition walls, and you don't have outside air source. Generally, they're brick and mortar. You can't cut holes in. Things like that to get your outside air source. So there are a few scenarios where they do work. If you're able to obtain what I just was speaking about as far as outside air, and you have long areas that are wide areas that are uninhibited, but there's not that many scenarios where evaporative cooling does work on indoor grows. The other thing, just very briefly, is that in an indoor grow, you're only using lights instead of natural sunlight. And those lights, 1,000-watt lights, really heat up an area much, much more than in a greenhouse. So in a lot of those cases, you really need regular HVAC cooling to be able to keep the temperature down at a level that is manageable for both the plants and the employees, because there's so much heat being produced by those lights, the grow lights.
And then my last question for you is about the feedback that you receive from the market regarding evaporative cooling systems. What are some of the most frequent comments that you hear as it relates to their efficiency or perhaps their maintenance upkeep and that kind of thing?
Well, people that have, as I stated earlier, first of all, we have to remember that evaporative cooling is new in the cannabis industry. It's just been the last 4 or 5 years that it's people in the cannabis industry really even understand what evaporative cooling is. But it's been used for literally decades in other plant industries, be it hydro or aquaculture, vegetables, floriculture, horticulture in general. It's been used for years. And it's been used as really the only effective way of cooling a greenhouse for many, many years in those industries. So the feedback I get mostly from cannabis people, for the most part, is surprise that it cools down a greenhouse like it does. Remembering that you have exhaust fans on the other end, you're not only cooling the air temperature, but you are creating kind of a chill factor, a wind chill factor, because you're actually pulling air through. And that air, in a standard, normal situation, that air needs to be exchanged one time every minute, which means if it enters the house at one end, it needs to be exiting the house in 1 minute at the other end. So most of the feedback that I get is very much surprised that it can cool down that much space as effectively as it does. There is maintenance with an evaporative cooling system, obviously, and I generally get surprised on that too, that there's so little maintenance, but there is maintenance, and we certainly make our customers aware. And depending on the water quality That's going to have something to do with the amount of maintenance that needs done. But, you know, there's in the hot summertime, there's maintenance that has to be done, maybe flushing out a system every couple of weeks or 3 weeks when you're using it continuously. But overall, the feedback is just very pleased with how it performs and the lack of maintenance that is required. You just, it runs, you don't worry about it, and that's overall the feedback that I get. Now, having said that, I get some feedback from ones that have not been informed, and they're not happy if the system, whoever was selling them the system, was not sized properly for where they are located. And that means to have enough air and enough evaporative cooling pad space. And if that is not done properly, then it can be a disappointing experience because it will not cool like it was intended to cool. But overall, very positive is the bottom line of the feedback that I get.
Great, Dave. I think those are all of the questions that I had for you today. Thank you so much for sharing this valuable info with us about evaporative cooling. And I wanted to ask, too, if cultivators have any additional questions, if they want to kind of delve deeper than this podcast, how can they reach you to learn more?
Sure. First of all, thank you very much for asking me on to your program. And can reach me at D, as in Dave, Bishop, at Conleys.com. That is my email address, and my cell phone number is 817-929-4886. And I do travel all over the United States on a frequent basis, but I'm always happy to help in any way that I can. I've done this. This is my 29th year of being in this industry, and I love the industry, and I love what the cannabis industry has brought to our overall greenhouse industry.
And also, I wanted to thank our Cannabis Business Times listeners today for tuning in. You can access more of our podcasts by heading to cannabisbusinesstimes.com/video, and we look forward to you joining us next time.